Blog Talk Radio.
This morning, I move forward in the presence of the Most High God. I move forward because that is what God wants us to do. We can't stay stagnant. We have to move forward. And I thank God for his word this morning as we move forward. We're going to be a little different this morning than normal. For as many know, today is the day that I give words for my father-in-law, and I just wanted to tell God, thank you. Thank you for the, 96 years of an awesome man's life. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of it for 43 of them. Mercy endures forever and all time, and I am grateful to be his daughter, the daughter of the Most High God. So today, instead of being our Old Testament word, which is our normal, we're going to be in Psalm, and we're going to Psalm 123. We're going to get our Proverbs, and we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 9, and Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. So let's get into our word. Father God in heaven, we come to you humble. We come to you grateful. We come to you thankful. We come to you blessed, knowing that you are the Most High God and all things work for our good because we trust and believe in you. Father God, as I lift up your word this morning, I lift up my family, father-in-law, knowing that your word tells us absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. And I know, Lord God, that he is happy, healthy, and joyful because his house has been built. The house not made by hand has been built in your kingdom. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for taking him home so that he would not be in pain. He would not be out of his right mind. I thank you, Lord, for a joyous occasion today that I will not whine and cry because I know, hallelujah, my father-in-law is where he wants to be with you, with his wife, with his son, just waiting for the rest of us to join him when our time comes. Hallelujah. Thanking God again. Lord, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight, Father God, for you are my strength and you are my redeemer. All things work through you and for your good and for our good. And I lift up this word, Lord God, in the name of Christ Jesus, knowing and trusting and believing that you are in charge, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Give me honor to God. And as we get ready to go into our word this morning in Psalms 123, verse 1 through 4, and our title is coming out of this psalm this morning, and it's just this: have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us. Hallelujah. We seek God's mercy this morning. We seek only what we can get from God. And that is his love and his grace. So early in the morning will I seek him. And we seek him today. And we ask him to have mercy on us. And it says in the word of God, unto you I lift up my eyes. O you whom dwells in the heavens, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a man to the hand of her masters, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease. The word by itself. And as we continue with Psalms 124, verses 1 through 8, a song of ascent of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Come on, y'all. Let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, when they would have swallowed us alive, when their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our souls. And we all know that that's dealing with the Exodus. Where would I be? Come on now. If the Lord was not on my side, I don't even want to think about it. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? Think that through. Where would you be had the Lord not been on your side, not being with you in times of trouble, not being for you when everybody else was against you? Hallelujah. We are children of the Most High God because he stands in the gap. Our Savior stands in the gap for us every day. Psalms 125, verses 1 through 5. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away from the workers of iniquity. Peace be unto Israel. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Because sometimes when you're hastening to be rich, you're not doing it in the right way. You're doing it in some shady business, and God wants to make sure that his word tells you so. And we go on in verse 21 of 28. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread, a man will transgress. When someone is hungry, they'll do anything. When someone is in need, sometimes they will do anything to get that need satisfied. But we got to do what God says to. And it goes on to tell us in Proverbs 28, verse 22, a man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. And we know that. We see it every day. You know, we see the folks that, you know, are rushing to get off the planet instead of rushing to take care of the people and the planet that they live on. But they're trying to get off of it because they got the money to go out and build a space station. They got the money to go out and do whatever they want to do. But their goal is, oh, we got to get off of this planet. Trying to get off of the planet because they done messed it up to get rich. because they feel that they deserve whatever it is, but nobody else does. But understand, God sees everything. God knows everything. God knows our heart. He knows our mind, and he knows our spirit. God knows us because he created us. And we ask him every day, Lord, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit within me. We want a right spirit from God. We want to have a love for God that only God can give. And only we can give our Father who created us and loved us. And as we go into this word, it says this. Now, this is the main point, and this is Hebrews chapter 8. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. Yeah, I build and not made by hand. But every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on this mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because of finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none of his brothers, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. There's that word. Have mercy on us. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. But then God tells us in his word, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. The Lord puts our deeds, our sins, he puts them in the sea of forgetfulness. That's our God. It says in that, he says a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Woo, we'll get all life lessons at the end of the scriptures this morning. Again, a little different. And we're going to go into Hebrews chapter 9. And it says this, then, indeed, even the first covenant has ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behold, the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubims of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. of these things we cannot now speak in detail. I want to make sure I get that in context. And it says, now, when these things have been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services, but not the second part of the high priest, when alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices were offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in reward in regard to the conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of information. Whew, y'all ready for this word now? Verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hand, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most high place once for all, having attained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the tester. Excuse me. For the testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the tester lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and according to the law purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Hallelujah, what a word. What a word. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, and it says this, for the law giving a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. But it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor I had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. And he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. We got to admit, we got to repent, and we got to know that it is forgotten. God does not hold grudges against us. God wants us to be the best that we can be, the best us we can be, the best of all things, which is his children. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he wants the best for us. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure. And I say one more time, have mercy on us. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Thank you, Jesus. And this is what the word says as we go through life lessons and life questions and what the Bible says. And the first is coming out of Psalms 123, verse 2. Our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. There may be many reasons why God does not immediately answer our prayers for help and mercy. But one thing is sure, he instructs us to keep on asking until he grants our request. Luke 18, 1 through 8, which we have read. Again, God answers prayers. And sometimes the answer is no. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you that's called God's will. And I'll say it one more time. I've said it so many times. God's will is not always ours. God does not always do what we want him to do. We do what he wants us to do. And when our time on this earth is over, we know we have a place, a building not made by him. We have a place with the Lord, because his word tells us absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. And so we are confident in that word. We are confident that everything that God says he will do, he will do. And we don't have to get weeping willows. We don't have to be weeping willows. We can rejoice in the Lord always, knowing that whoever we care about is in the presence of God, because especially those that we know love God above everything. Hallelujah. I love God, as Mary Mary said. Do you love God? You don't love God? What's wrong with you? We got to love the Lord God with all our heart, our mind, and our strength. For it is in him we live, we move, and have our being. Hallelujah. And as we continue in this word, it says in Life Lesson, Hebrews 8 and 1, we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of the heavens. To be seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens is to occupy the most influential seat anywhere. Jesus intercedes for us with his Father as our Father, as our friend, Savior, Lord, brother, and fellow heir. I like that word. Thank you, Dr. Sam. And as we continue, it says, he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. The old covenant depended upon divine words written in stone. In the new covenant, God writes his thoughts upon the hearts of his redeemed children through the ministry of Christ. Living spirit. Again, thank you, Dr. Stanley. But I just like to say, as Israel Houghton says in his work, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am redeemed. Hallelujah. Thanking God for redemption that comes through his son, Jesus Christ. And as Dr. Stanley says in this, we say, our friend, our savior, our Lord and brother, and fellow here. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm about to shout this morning. And in Hebrews 8 and 13, the word tells us in that, he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Dr. Stanley tells us at that time Hebrews was written, the Jerusalem temple apparently still existed in AD 70. However, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and the old system, in fact, vanished. And that's how you figure out why we don't have cows and bulls and rams being slaughtered for our sins. Because Jesus paid the price, and the temple was destroyed, and the people were scattered. And let's get back into a psalm. And this is what the Bible says, giving thanks to God. And it says, our prayers are often more self-centered than we realize. I was just thinking that. As we talk to God, we tend to forget the many ways that God has helped us. Instead, we focus on the things that we want from him. However, we should continually give thanks to our Lord and Savior. This is one of the most important priorities in the life of a believer. We're taught it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. To say morning by morning, new mercies we see. For God is faithful. And it says to us, as Dr. Stanley continues, he says, why is it important that we express gratitude to God? Because he deserves the glory and giving thanks, honor to him. We thank you this morning, Father God. We thank you for this mighty word that you have given us. We thank you for being our Father. We thank you for just waking us up this morning and giving us an opportunity for a do-over. We thank you, Lord. And it goes on to tell us by Dr. Stanley, he says, we act in obedience by giving him the credit and praise to the one who should receive it. He is the author of every good thing and should receive every honor. Giving thanks to God refocuses our attention. What better way to bring our focus back to God than to think of how he delivered us? Doing so releases us from anxiety. Psalms 124, verse 8 declares, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Because he is our help, we have nothing to fear. Well, I'm going to say that again. our help in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, because he is our help. We have nothing to fear. Our gratefulness refreshes our relationship with him and reinforces our faith as we declare his loving kindness and faithfulness. Our spirits are rejuvenated. We feel closer to him because he draws near to us when we thank him and praise him, and we have more joy in our life. Therefore, how can we express our thanks to God? We express our thanks in words. We express our thanks by singing. We express our thanks by living obediently. We express our thanks through public worship. We give thanks by giving generously. Have you counted your blessings lately? Have you stopped to think of the many things that God has done, not only for you, but for this world? Giving thanks is something you can do at any time and in any place. Why not take a few minutes to reflect upon the greatness of God and the way he helped you? Why not begin each morning and end every day with songs of praise and gratitude? If you do that, you're going to feel more joy in your life. You're going to feel closer to him and be more eager to serve him. Therefore, give thanks to God. Hallelujah. I tell you this, Lord God, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, your wayward children. Help us to focus our minds on you. And that is all I got to say this morning when it comes to thankfulness. I thank God. Oh, Jesus, thank you for your life. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your love. Thank you for just being who you are, a wonderful and mighty God. Thank you, Jesus, that we no longer have to kill animals for our sins, that you took them all on the cross. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9:14, life lesson. And that scripture one more time is this: how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanses your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And it says this: none of us, this is what Dr. Stanley tells us in our life lesson today, none of us have to live with unresolved guilt. Jesus wants to take our accusing consciences and wipe them clean with his blood, enabling us to serve him with joy and without the slightest bit of shame. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Life lesson, Hebrews 9:26. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As God in the flesh, Jesus presented God with a sacrifice both infinite in value and eternal in duration. Jesus' purity made his sacrifice valid, and his divine nature made it sufficient for all who believe. Thank you, God. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. And it tells us this in Dr. Stanley's word: few can avoid taxes, but none of us can avoid death and judgment unless we're alive when the Lord returns. All of us will die, and every person in history will answer to God for how they lived. How will God answer you today? How did you live? What did you do for God? What will they say when they say a word or two about you? Will they say she was a good woman who loved God? Or will they say, girl, I couldn't stand her. She was such a mess. Girl, always running down the boo-boo in them house. Always got something to say. Always standing at the door talking about people with Sister Susie. I don't have nothing good to say about her. And my mama used to tell me, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. So I ain't got nothing at all to say about them. And if everybody didn't have nothing at all to say good about you, then what does that say about your character? So we got to keep trusting God. We got to keep giving ourselves away so the Lord can use us for his work, not ours. But we know that we work for the Lord. As they say, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. It's time to go to work. And as we get back into our life lesson, Psalms 125 and 2, it says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. God surrounds his people like a thick wall surrounded ancient cities. He covers us on every side so that nothing can reach us without first passing through his loving hands, the best security system ever devised. Hallelujah, for the Lord's word tells us, I will never leave you or forsake you. And if the Lord will never leave us or forsake us, that means he is with us wherever we go, because that's what the word says as well. So we know that God is with us. We know that he's with us in our coming in. He knows he is with us in our going out. We know he is with us in life, and he is with us in death, because the word tells us absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. So we are confident in that word of God. And as Hebrews 10:4 says, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. And it says this, the shed blood of animals provided only a temporary covering of human sin. It could never fully and finally pay the penalty for that sin. Only the blood of the God-man, Jesus Christ, has the power to take away sin. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure that Jesus paid it all for you. He paid it all for me. And this is what the life lesson says, and then we'll have what the Bible says, and then we will be wrapping it up this morning. Because as many know, I have an assignment, and I am going to do my assignment to the best of my ability, because I know that my daddy is with me. Hallelujah. And it says this, Hebrews 10:14, by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Our salvation is both a finished project and an ongoing process. Through faith in Jesus, God made us right with him, and by the power of his Spirit, he enables us to become more like the Jesus whose righteousness we received. Hallelujah. And our last word is what happened at the cross. We just read that in Hebrews 10:1-14. And it says this. This is what Dr. Stanley tells. And when y'all hear me say Dr. Stanley said this and Dr. Stanley says that, that is because I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. That is my word for this year. As we read the word of God in 1 year, the whole entire Bible, we have read so far from page 1. We have read up to page 1380. So think that through. We have done some stuff. We have read some things. And we are asking God to permeate our heart with it, permeate our mind with it, permeate our spirit with it. And it says this, holy God is absolutely uncompromising and unrelenting in his attitude toward all forms of evil. His justice requires payment for every sin. Under the Old Testament sacrificial system established by God, priests made daily offerings for the nation's sins, Exodus 29:38-39. People also brought sacrifices of lambs and other animals to the temple as payments for their wrongdoings, Leviticus 5:5-7. Were repeated day after day because an animal's blood can never take away all sin, and that's me saying that. But when God shows a lamb, called the Lamb of God, he takes away all sin. But Dr. Stanley says the lamb, the chosen lamb, laid down his life as a substitute for all men. Payment for sin was complete. Jesus bore in his body the full penalty of our disobedience, past, present, and future. See 1 Peter 2:24. No further sacrifice is required. Hebrews 7:27. At the cross, God revealed his wrath against all unrighteousness. Romans 1:18-19. Judgment against sin was carried out. One man, the virgin born, sinless, incarnate Son of God, voluntarily offered himself to stand in our place and receive God's judgment for our sin. Jesus took on the divine condemnation and wrath that we deserve. This is good news. When we receive Jesus as our personal Savior, we are no longer under a death sentence. We are proclaimed not guilty because he took our, the mercy of God in our punishing. Is not punishing us, is ours forever. And I'm going to read that again because our word today is have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, oh God. Mercy on us. And as we finish up this word this morning, the word that Dr. Stanley gave us just wraps up everything that God has done for us. The mercy of God is not punishing us. It's our forever. The riches of his grace gives us life, even though we deserve to die, to one so that many might live. Have you thanked Jesus today for life? Thank you, Father God, today for life. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me a second chance. Thank you, God, for giving us all a second chance. And thank you, God, that absent from this earthly body is in your presence. We celebrate today those that have gone before us. We celebrate today those who have a birthday in glory, that one day we may celebrate our birthday, our rebirth with the Father. God, thank you all for listening this morning. I thank God for this mighty, mighty word that he has given us. And I ask that you join us again on next Sunday as we study the book of Ezekiel and move forward in God's word. So again, I say today, have mercy on us. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. And before we get out of here, a word of always encouragement from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I do not have Sister Carolyn's word this morning, but I know that we will have it on Sunday, but I'll just read the word that was yesterday's word because it still is apropos. Sometimes we worry too much about the outcome of things that we don't stop and realize God is already taking care of it. So we're going to have a faith-filled Friday. We're going to be fearless because we know that God is with us wherever we go, that he is always watching over us, that he is always lifting us up, that he is always giving us a big old godly daddy hug. Why? Because we belong to him. We are his sons and daughters, and he loves us like that. So thank you again for listening in this morning. Be blessed and know that our daddy God is with you wherever you are going, and he will watch over you. He will give you what to say. He will give you what you need. He will always do it decently and in order. Because that's who he is, an orderly and wonderful Father and a wonderful God. We thank our Savior Jesus Christ for taking all of our sins to the cross that we may have eternal life. Thank you so much, family. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. And who do I work for? I work for the Lord. And today, God is going to give me a word for my family. So I thank you all. Be blessed. Keep me in your prayers. Keep my family in your prayers as we go through bereavement. But I go through this bereavement with a happy heart, knowing that God called an awesome and wonderful man home. That man I call Daddy. That man I call Dad. That man who changed my trajectory of my life. When he says, don't call me anymore Mr. Richmond, but call me Daddy. So I'm grateful for my daddy who gave me 43 years of his love. And as we say every time we're together, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and the holy name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and all of yours. Be blessed and know that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And as we say on moving forward, it is a what? It is a wrap. Why? Because we are always willing, ready, available, and presently praying for each and every one of you. Be blessed, family. And again, join me on Sunday, 7 to 8 a.m. Central Standard Time as we move forward in the Word of God. Thank you so much and be blessed. It's a wrap. Why? What? Time for us to go to work. Have a wonderful weekend.